Welcome all that came today, and I think there's some people that may be watching us also on the internet, and so we pray that God would bless you. Open up your Bibles, Ephesians chapter 5. We continue our series here. We're going to read verse 1 and 2 today. Ephesians chapter 5. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love just as Jesus Christ also has loved us and has given himself for us as an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. Last Sunday, we briefly stopped on verse 1 and noted the word imitator is the word that is translated into English as mimic, copy, trace. Little kids are going back to school this week, and my grandkids are tracing letters, learning to write their name. God is our ultimate example, and we are to imitate God because he is our father. Now, children, they inherit certain characteristics of their parents through their genes. It's just absolutely natural that oftentimes you hear somebody say he looks just like his father or just like his mother or he acts just like his grandmother or grandfather. And hopefully that is a good imitation. God calls us to imitate him because God is all good. God is all truth. There is no evil in God. There is no unholiness in God. Peter calls us and he says, be holy as I, the Lord your God, am holy. And so having been born into the family of God, we are adopted children of God, and God calls us to imitate him. And this word, as dear children. A Syrophoenician woman came to Jesus. And she wanted Jesus to heal her daughter. And Jesus, at first, puts her through a little test. And he says, no, I've come to only do miracles with Israel. I've come to proclaim the good news to Israel. And so she keeps asking Jesus. And then Jesus even uses this example of owners would have their pets, little pet dogs, and they would give the pet dogs crumbs from the table. And so she uses this as an example, okay? But the example there is somebody that is very near and dear to you, something that is very close to you, something that your heart is attached to. God says we are to imitate him because we are his dear children. The Russian adds the emphasis that возлюбленные, or beloved, dearly beloved. Sometimes Paul uses the expression loved of God, and sometimes he says beloved or dearly loved of God. It's like an added emphasis. And verse 2, this is going to be a series of how we are to walk. Remember chapter 4, when Paul begins to tell us how our Christian life is to be contrasted to our old life before we came to Jesus. He says our walk is supposed to be, who remembers? Chapter 4, verse 1. This is an open book test. It says, walk worthy. That was number one. Secondly, we are to walk in love. Later on in chapter 5, he's going to talk about walking in light, walking in wisdom. These are different ways, different examples. God calls us to imitate him, and he is the ultimate example for us to copy and to mimic. Have you ever been to a show where there's a clown trying to mimic somebody, and he repeats all the motions that the other person is doing. That is how God wants us to study his word, to know his word, and knowing his word to live accordingly. And the ultimate example of loving God and imitating God is the example that Jesus Christ himself gave to us, Jesus Christ being God's only begotten Son. We are his adopted children, but Jesus Christ was the real article, if we can use that word. When we read Hebrews chapter 1, it talks about Jesus Christ being the exact image of God the Father. Every coin you have in your pocket is identical. If we all pulled out a quarter right now, they are all identical. And if one is different, then we know it is counterfeit. And so Jesus Christ here in verse 2, God gives us as the primary example of somebody that imitates and does the character of God. And how did Jesus Christ, in total, imitate his Father. Remember John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his Son. And then his Son, in turn, gave his life. That's what Paul is saying here. And notice that he relates and he ties us to chapter 4, verse 32, be kind one to another, be tenderhearted, and forgive one another just like Jesus did. So Jesus forgave us in his kindness and tender kindness, imitating the Father's behavior, and now calls us to imitate Jesus Christ, who imitated his Father. And how did Jesus Christ imitate the love of God? It says he has loved us and has given himself as an offering. Love is an action. Love is not an emotion. Some of you young people, you think you're in love. It's not a fuzzy feeling you have in your heart. Love is expressed in action. It's the way you treat people. It's when you do something for somebody else and it costs you something. That is love. And the ultimate example of this is what God did in giving his only Son, and it's what Jesus Christ did when he gave his life for us. Notice here it says that Jesus Christ gave himself as an offering and as a sacrifice. Have you stopped and thought about the difference between an offering and a sacrifice? You know, we're going to have our offering here in a few minutes. It's when we offer something to the Lord. It's an expression of our love. It costs us something to give to the Lord. Of course, the Lord gave it to us in the first place, so it really belongs to him. But have you thought about the difference in the Old Testament that an offering was and a sacrifice was? You see, God called Israel when they sinned. You read the book of Leviticus, and there's five basic sacrifices that they had to bring to God. These were sacrifices because they were expensive. You would bring a sheep or a goat or a bull or something that represented something that was expensive. But in addition to that, it was put upon the altar. It was killed and slaughtered and completely burned as an offering to God. So we have the sacrificial part of it and we have the offering part of it. You would sacrifice for your sin. If you sinned, and a certain sin would require a bigger sacrifice. The biggest sacrifice was like bringing a whole bull to the Lord and sacrificing the whole animal to God. And it was totally burned up and consumed. But that was for your sin. The offering part is the part that you did voluntarily. And it demonstrated your love to God. And that's how Jesus Christ and what Jesus Christ did for us. He offers himself to God the Father in our place as a substitute. And the substitute, remember Abraham, when God told him to bring his son as a sacrifice, and then God stops him, and God says, look behind you, there is a substitute. See, Abraham was ready to offer what was dear to him, what cost him a lot, what it was everything, it was his whole beloved son. And God eventually, when it was all done with, accepted the sacrifice as a substitute for what God called for originally. What did God call for originally in our life? He says to Adam and Eve, when you sin, you will die physically and spiritually. Adam could have died and given his life. He would have still died in his sins. God promises Eve in Genesis chapter 3, from your seed will come the Messiah, and the Messiah will crush the head of Satan. So God promises and God sacrifices and God offers to us. And Jesus Christ, his death on the cross, is a substitutionary sacrifice for us. And so imitate God, love God to the extent that Jesus did. How much did Jesus give? He gave himself as a sacrifice to God, but as an offering voluntarily on our behalf. But notice the last part of this, and this is kind of the key here. It says the offering and the sacrifice of Jesus Christ himself personally to the Father was an aroma that was well-pleasing to God. I think we all like barbecues. We all like steaks, or we like meat that is prepared on a fire. It has a beautiful, nice smell to it. But have you ever had the aroma of meat that was overdone, overcooked? In other words, burned. Is there anything pleasing about it? Absolutely not. Now, when you go back to Leviticus, and we don't have time today, but go home and read it at home. There were different sacrifices, and there were some sacrifices that the people brought just as an offering to God. And about those offerings, it says that God accepted them as an aroma that was pleasant to him. Now, the sacrifice for sin that the Jew would bring, there were two of them. There was the peace offering that represented having atonement made and finding peace with God. And then there was an actual sacrifice from sin. On the peace offerings and on the offerings that God accepted, they were simply cooked and prepared as a meal. And the priest could get a piece of that to take home. The offering for sin, the Jew was commanded to bring it, and it was supposed to completely burn. And you can imagine the place where they made the sacrifices must have really had a horrible stench of burned meat. Day and night, the altar was burning with these sacrifices. And it says that God, to him, those weren't pleasing smells. Those pleasing smells were on the offering side. The sacrifice side of the offering was a requirement for sin. Jesus was God's requirement as payment and a sacrifice for our sin. And when Jesus was on the cross, remember, he cries out in anguish to his Father and says, "Why have you forsaken me?" Because all of our sins God put on Jesus Christ. And when God the Father looked on Jesus on the cross, he couldn't look at Jesus and all of our sins on him. And God turned away from his Son, Jesus Christ. It was not pleasant to him. It was not pleasing. Because God could only see our sins on his holy Son. It was like that meat being burned in the Old Testament. But the sacrifice had to be made. God never forgave in the Old Testament if you didn't bring a sacrifice. You couldn't just come and say, "God, forgive me." You had to bring the sacrifice to demonstrate that it was genuine. And you would put your heart, your hand on the animal, and then the priest would kill the animal. And so on the cross, God turns away from Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ gives his life for our sins, and he dies, and he is buried. But what does God the Father do on the third day? He accepts the sacrifice and the death and the blood of Jesus Christ as payment for our sin. And God says, "George Kuzichev, your sins are atoned. They're covered with the blood of my sin. Every single one of you. The sacrifice of Jesus Christ, God accepts sacrificially as a substitute for our sins." And to demonstrate that God accepted the sacrifice and makes it a pleasing thing in his nostrils, if we could use that expression, what was horrible to God, the sin of our sins on Jesus Christ, God can now accept that as a substitutionary sacrifice for our sins. And it says Jesus gave himself, and to God, now God accepts the sacrifice for our sins. So it's been all done. There remains one thing. It remains for you to accept it in faith, and God offers it to you. That's God's love to you. To those of us that have already accepted this love, now God says, now follow the example that I did. Follow the example that my beloved Son, Jesus Christ, did. You, as Christians, love one another. May God bless his word. Amen.